From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, well, folks, we're back. It's been a very interesting couple of days, and we have some stuff to talk about, right?
Oh, just a little bit. I mean, the Chiefs were making moves at 6:30 this morning.
I'm just, you know, guns up and all that Texas Tech stuff with Mahomes. I am about to start calling Brett Veach gunslinger. That's, I mean, that's just, wow. Folks, I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics. You can check out everything I have over there at Rogue APC.
And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com, and I had an article up about this signing at about 6:45 this morning because I was wide awake in disbelief.
You know, it's funny. I'm a time zone removed, so I always see everything a little bit late, and I get texts from Chris when I wake up. You're not going to believe what just happened. So welcome back to the show. We have a great one for you. We have the guy who broke this news about 2 weeks ago, just after the combine, Connor Rogers from Sick to Football and FanRag Sports, as well as Bleacher Report. You've read him and listened to him. We have him on the show here in just a couple of minutes. But we want to go over real quick what the Chiefs have done. Just to recap, Anthony Sherman's still a Chief. Love it. Okay. Then we can move on to what happened today, Chris.
Yeah, the important stuff. Sammy Watkins. You know, honestly, I'm not sure what amazes me more, the fact that they signed Watkins or the fact that he was a number four overall pick 4 years ago and is still only 24 years old.
Right. Yeah, it's the age. This is a 3-year contract. He's going to be 27 years old when it runs out. And, you know, there are people that believe, and I happen to be one of them, that, you know, the first couple of years on a rookie contract is still about learning, unless you're just a man child. And there are a few of those from time to time. But for most players, right. But for most players, the first couple of years are getting acclimated to the NFL. And so really it's the last year maybe of their rookie contract and their second contract that are the best years of a player's career. And folks, you have Sammy Watkins for those years.
Yeah. And you got him for what seems like a lot of money. And this is something I said this morning on Twitter and people just hammered me for it. But you're missing my point when I say the production is pretty much similar to Albert Wilson. Yes, I know they can be a different – he's going to be a different type of receiver than Wilson ever was. I get that. I'm not trying to say they're the same type of receiver. What I am simply saying is the production was similar last year. Yes, he had more touchdowns, but yards-wise, it was similar last year, and you're paying him double. To me, it just seems like a very large contract. I'm not saying he won't be worth it. Obviously, it's the going rate because Allen Robinson got something that was pretty similar, and Allen Robinson hasn't been as productive.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for me, it comes down to touchdowns. In 2017, Watkins had 8. Even though they had about the same yardage, Albert at 580 overall and Sammy at 616. But 8 touchdowns for Watkins, 3 for Wilson. And here's the thing. He's played 3 seasons where he played, you know, close to a full schedule. 2016 was pretty much wiped out by injury. Not a whole lot of time there. But if you look at those years where he played nearly a full schedule, the 616 was his lowest output, whereas for Albert Wilson, it was his highest output. Yep. So you're getting a player that has way more upside than he's shown.
And I'm not trying to say he doesn't have upside. All I was trying to simply say was you are paying a lot of money to a wide receiver that's in the past hasn't been able to stay healthy at times. There's a lot of question marks with this move. Is it something that Kansas City needed to do? I think it's a good move on their part because I think that he can give this offense another dynamic that they weren't going to be able to get in the draft. And it gives Mahomes another weapon. I mean, look at who he's got to throw to now.
Yeah, I mean, this changes things. It's not just Tyree trying to draw coverage. Now teams are at a disadvantage if they're not playing two deep safeties. This is something where either of the outside receivers can get past you. I mean, quite honestly, if Chris Conley returns to 90-95% of his former form after the Achilles injury, any three of the top receivers can get past you. And that's really, I think, what opens up for what I think Conley's role will change a little bit, and he will have more crossing patterns, and he will have more things underneath. I think Travis Kelce gets a big bump out of this, and we'll talk about that with Connor here in a little bit. But it changes the entire offense.
Absolutely. It changes the entire offense, and it also changes the ability of what they're going to be able to do. I mean, you're never going to see eight man in the box anymore. It's not going to happen.
It's going to be nearly impossible. And that's the thing that I like the most is now you can put Sherman in and you have a man advantage.
Oh,
do you see how this works?
We go sign a wide receiver that runs a 4.3/4.40, and you're still talking about Anthony Sherman, the sausage.
Somebody's got to make the sausage. Yeah. So that wasn't the only thing that happened today, though. The Chiefs decided, long as we had talked about, despite what some of our friends and guests have had to say about trying to stand pat at the inside linebacker position, Brett Veach agreed with me and decided that's not okay. Went out and got him a guy that can play the run as good as just about anybody. I believe he was number one, according to PFF anyway, at stopping the run from the inside linebacker position.
He was.
And can play the zone drops very well.
Yeah, no, he was the number one guy at that position. So big move on their part. It's great to see them go and make a move like that. You know, the only question that I have regarding that is, you know, $9 million seems like a lot of money. But again, we don't really know the contract details, much like Watkins in that regard. We do know $30 million guaranteed for Watkins, but we don't even know that for Hitchens. All we know is that it's a deal worth approximately $9 million a year. So I mean, that's going to put him up there, but you know, we kind of talked about this, and you were of the opinion, and I guess that it makes a lot of sense now. You know, KPL is gone. He probably wasn't going to be brought back after his arrest, and I didn't see it then, but you know, obviously the Chiefs are moving on now because there's no way you're giving Hitchens this kind of money if you think KPL's coming back, unless he's coming back for vet men, and he's not going to be sitting around for vet men. So
yeah, well, I mean, and it depends what the rest of the league thinks. He might not get many offers, but here's the thing, is I'm not even 100% sure that he was in the mix beforehand, before the arrest. You could take the stance, and I'm not promoting this, but it could be possible that he just didn't play well enough to earn a big contract, you know? So what you get is a guy that is proficient against the run, instinctual, can play downhill. Yes, he's not as good an athlete. He can't play man coverage quite as well as KPL, but he can do first and second down extremely well. And he's played in the nickel on third down quite a bit. It's going to tweak the way the defense runs, I think. But I think Hitchens is paired with Ragland is a great step forward.
Yeah, should be. And it also gives them the ability to probably stand pat at other positions on defense. I think Hitchens is going to give them the ability to play less safety, for three safety looks, because I think he's going to be that type of linebacker.
You know, and that may be, especially if they're comfortable playing simple drop zones in the middle. If that changes, I think they do go back. Initially, my initial read when I looked at two games worth of film this morning, it just didn't look like he can cover backs in tight ends man on man. Some people have come out and told me I'm wrong and they've watched more film, and maybe that's true. But if you get in a situation where you need to play man, I think you are going to see that three safety set, you know, Sorensen or whoever takes over that role in the box so that Barry can roam and whoever the free safety is can play deep. But, you know, it's good to have options. They don't have to go into that three safety set.
Here's the bigger question, though, that has to be answered. Does this solidify them at going defense at 54? And I'm not 100% sold it does. I mean, I think that is probably going to be the move, but I think it does depend on who is on the board. But I still think they could go offense if the right guy's there.
And
there's going to be very few positions. There's going to be very few positions.
And there are not many guys on the offensive side of this particular draft class that I think are going to warrant that. I will say it's 90% for me that they're going to go defense. If somebody drops.
No, and I would agree with that. Not to interrupt you, but I would agree with that. I think it's 90% that they will go defense. I'm just saying if there's somebody, like you said, that drops.
Yeah. And the two positions, and I know people are tired of me harping on this, but hey, folks, this is the reality. They still need a left guard. I know Therese said today that he's comfortable with Iyengar and Witzman battling it out. I'm not. So you, if you see Hernandez or Isaiah Wynn drop to 54, grab him.
As long as you
that's an offensive position.
As long as you don't say fullback, I'm good.
No, then that's fair. And there are a couple of tight ends that I think might be worth it at 54 too if they don't get selected.
Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, a lot of people are high on him. His film's good. I like it. I'm one of those, like, I want to see his measurables too, and he hasn't run. So I'm a little bit, you know.
Gesicki's, I think, the other one. I think that Therese has on his all-juice team.
Oh, yeah, a lot of folks are high on him. The kid's thin and runs great routes. He can't block his way out of a paper bag. So for me, he's definitely not even in the mix. I would not draft him.
Yeah,
he's a thick wide receiver is all he is.
Yeah. But can he run?
Yes, he can. So anyway, we have beat around the bush plenty. We have Connor coming up, so why don't we get to that? And now we're going to welcome in a guy that you ought to know. If you don't, you're doing something wrong. You can find him at Bleacher Report. He's over on Stick to Football. That's where I listen to him, as well as over at FanRag Sports with us. So welcome Connor Rogers back to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing?
Doing Dragon? Pretty good. Kind of surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty some wild Chiefs-related news broke in this morning, huh?
Yeah, and I want to give you props. I will admit, I don't think I heard it on your podcast. I think I saw a tweet later, but you were the first person that I saw that mentioned that the Chiefs were interested in Sammy Watkins. I just didn't see the fit. Obviously, you had something there.
Yeah, it was interesting. So when I looked at this wide receiver class, listen, you have Patrick Mahomes starting this year, and you know where he excels. He can really throw the football down the field. I think that's how Andy Reid would like to maximize his skills this year. And it's no secret that Tyreek Hill's a guy that wins with speed and can do that, but it's always nice when you have two threats that can do that. So when you start to look at this wide receiver class, you say, okay, it's not great. The vertical targets are lacking. I thought that maybe they would look to take a flyer on a guy like Deion Kane or Christian Kirk or someone like that on day two. But I think the objective was to really get this need filled out of the way in free agency. So the Chiefs started clearing money. And when a team starts proactively clearing money, you're wondering what they're planning for in free agency. So I asked around and kind of got from a couple different people that they were looking to add a vertical target, and Watkins was the number one guy if they could make the money work. Now, the Rams, obviously knowing that a market was building for Watkins, you know, kind of tried to offset it and tried to clear money of their own. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs have had this plan for a while and went into free agency and got their guy in Sammy Watkins.
Well, and in the end, it came down to either going back to the Rams or coming to Kansas City, right?
Yeah, that's what it came down to. And that's kind of where it was for a while. Now, it does help that guys like Watkins now and Robinson had pretty wide markets in this, and it helps the agent drive up the price. And Sammy Watkins got a healthy deal. Listen, you're sitting there with $30 million fully guaranteed over a three-year stretch, you know, averaging around $16 million per year. That's a great deal for a wide receiver. A great deal. Listen, Sammy Watkins is a young guy where you can argue his best football is ahead of him, not behind him. He's a guy that had some injury struggles in Buffalo. Sure, the production wasn't off the charts with the Rams, but there was a lot of mouths to feed there. He's a guy that I think in this offense will have career years where we look back and say, okay, did they pay up a hefty price? Sure, but when you're with the perfect fit and you make the money work, it doesn't matter. And the Chiefs were clearly that destination on both sides. It was a fit for the Chiefs, and it was a fit for Watkins, who can really cash in again when he's, what, 27 years old in 3 years?
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Well, and maybe sooner. I mean, maybe, you know, depending on how this deal ends up, you would think that, you know, maybe they want to look at re-upping him in a couple of years when the salary cap goes up if he plays really well. I guess I looked at it and said, okay, his production doesn't necessarily meet that contract, but I get the deal. I get the thought process of going out and getting a guy for Patrick Mahomes like Watkins, because you already have that guy. You already have a guy like him in Tyreek Hill. Their skill set is similar, but it's not the same. And I do really think that this is also going to open up things for Chris Conley. I think Conley's going to play the slot, and I think that's going to be something that will be beneficial for him as well.
I agree with you. I actually really like that point because it opens things up underneath. And that was something I wanted to get to with you guys, is that we live in such a world where we look at numbers, and I totally get that. But when you watch McVay's offense last year, there was a reason the Rams tried to clear a lot of money to bring this guy back. It's not what he necessarily does on paper, but the space he cleared for that offense for Cooper Kupp underneath was so key for that Rams passing attack with Jared Goff that was orchestrated by McVay. So the Chiefs got a guy that, yes, Watkins can hit the home run for you, but man, he's going to make a lot of other guys look good in the process. And that's key for a team like the Chiefs that can really scheme things up offensively.
When you're also making a move that you look at what they got in Watkins, and Watkins was open a lot last year, and Goff missed him several times. And that's going to happen in Kansas City, don't get me wrong. But I do think that this also shows that he's going to be a bigger part of this offense than he was in Los Angeles. And he's going to have all of training camp to get into the Kansas City offense and figure out where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to be doing. He didn't have that in Los Angeles, and I think that really set him back.
Oh, I agree. And look at it. When you pay a guy $16 million per year, you're going to use him. That's the thing with Watkins here. Like, they didn't pay him to come in and be a decoy or a guy that pulls the safeties away, which he will do. But they're going to get the ball in his hands. I remember him coming out of Clemson, and you got to get the ball in his hands on screens, slants, similar to what the Giants were doing early on with Odell Beckham, where they'd hit that slant and he could turn up the field. Watkins can do that. You just got to be a little creative. So he's the vertical threat they want, but he's also in a way kind of a safety net for Mahomes on scripted plays that are short and rely on a guy that can pick up yards after the catch.
Well, and I've spent the day trying to figure out how I think the impact's going to go. And there's a lot of talk about, what this is going to do for Tariq Hill and obviously Conley. But I think the guy that it helps the most, because I think he's going to line up on the same side as him, is Travis Kelce. With you have him streaking down the side and getting behind the defense, it leaves all kinds of things open for Kelce on what he can do best.
Oh, no doubt. And then it also opens things up for your red zone offense when you get these guys on crossers. And I think what Sammy does in the middle of the field at times is underrated with his middle of the field targets. So, listen, at the end of the day, this helps everyone because you got Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill at wide receiver. I mean, listen, you can't load up the box against this run game with Kareem Hunt. So the Chiefs are really they're going to be the big play team, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And who cares about the money is what I always say. I think it's wise to be smart with contracts, but most big money contracts in the NFL now are really designed where you can get out after 2 years. Sammy Watkins is a young player with a ton of upside that fits the bill here. It's just a great move for the Chiefs. And like I said, I was talking about it way before it happened because there's rumblings you hear and you toss aside because you don't necessarily believe it or doesn't believe it makes sense. This was one that just made too much sense for it to not happen.
Well, and you talked about them going clearing cap space, and I saw that, but I wasn't sure how they would spend it because you have a new GM in Brett Veach that came into a bad situation cap-wise. So it could have been just them going and clearing cap space, trying to get back in the black and be ready for future years. But it looks like Kansas City's making moves to compete at a very high level this year. You look at the Watkins move, and they also are adding Anthony Hitchens, which is a player that I liked, but I didn't expect him to go and get. It'll be intriguing to see how he fits in this defense.
Yeah, well, and listen, this is another signing where the guy's 25 years old. He'll be 26 this season. You get Hitchens, who is a pretty productive player, man. I mean, it comes down to it. The guy has averaged around 80 tackles over the last 2 years. So is he going to be a star linebacker? Not necessarily, but a solid starter for the middle of the defense? Of course. That's what you're looking for. You're looking to plug holes. So, listen, the Chiefs had a couple spots where they were either aging or that they wanted to get younger or they wanted to add more speed and talent overall. And I think they had a plan in this free agency and really got two of their guys right away. They're already a good football team. I mean, that's the thing. When you're already a good football team, you don't go into the free agency necessarily like we've seen the Jets do, where the Jets are plugging a lot of holes right now. We've seen the Browns be very aggressive in trades and free agency to try to plug holes really in the trade market. So you don't have to do that when you're the Kansas City Chiefs right now, and hopefully not anytime soon. So they went out, they got two guys that can help right away, two guys that just make a lot of sense for their market.
I want to switch gears real quick. We don't spend a lot of time because I know you probably talk about this ad nauseum with Matt, but your impression to this point of the aggression and the attitude that Brett Veach is showing.
Without a doubt. I mean, when you look at it, this is no easy, it's not an easy gig to walk into, right? I mean, when it comes down to it, listen, I don't know how you guys necessarily felt, or did you feel at least surprised when Dorsey, when they moved on from Dorsey?
Yes.
Yeah.
So caught off guard at least.
It caught off guard at the least. So it's not easy to come in and especially like you said, there was some cap restrictions there. It's tough to come in and live up to expectations for a football team that has simply won a lot of games over the last couple of years. So, listen, we have to see how this draft pans out and see what they can get out of it. But the early returns and managing this roster seem at least promising to me.
Well, and then if you look at what they're doing in the draft this year, they don't have a first-round pick. But I think you look at what they have in Patrick Mahomes. I'm just curious, where did you rank him, or where do you think you would rank him when it comes to last year's class and this year's class?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I loved Mahomes' raw talent, but he was simply my fourth quarterback because he was such what I thought was a project, and we've seen so many of them fail in the NFL. And I couldn't think of a more perfect spot than Kansas City, but when Kansas City was sitting at, what, the 25th yep. pick overall, that's a long way to climb. So when you're talking about his chances to go to the perfect destination, they seem so slim. And listen, if things work out, they're going to make me look very stupid because I had this class as Deshaun Watson and Mitch Trubisky and then Deshaun Kizer and Mahomes, who were really 3A and 3B because they were just guys with huge upside. One lands in Cleveland and is thrown to the Wolves, and the other gets to ride the Kansas City bench and learn. And I expect him to be a very successful quarterback with his talent and his – and we've talked to him on Stick to Football. I mean, he's a great guy. He's a smart guy. He'll maximize everything he can learning from Andy Reid. So when it goes back to it, in terms of raw talent, Mahomes is up there with anyone of these last 2 years. It's as simple as that. It's putting it all together, coming out of the Big 12, getting away from running any kind of college concepts and really, you know, grasping Reid's system. But listen, the early returns, I know he hasn't played much, but it seemed promising. And with what's around him, I think he could come out to be one of the top three quarterbacks drafted over the last couple of years when all is said and done, if everything works out perfectly.
I know it's been a crazy couple of days and we're still, you know, quote unquote tampering, but when you look at the other side of the ball, the market that's really kind of thrown me for a loop is the cornerback group. And I'm looking at the contracts here. I mean, Malcolm Butler at $30 million guaranteed, Aaron Colvin at 18. Does it sound like this is about where you expected that particular market to be, or is this just as crazy as the wide receivers?
It's insane. When it comes down to it, it's really wild. When you look at the cornerback market, but this is kind of what happens every year. We saw it kind of start last year. AJ Bouye is a great cornerback, but we knew the money would start to get insane because of how much of a premium position it's become. Now you're seeing mid-tier to average at best players get superstar money almost. So it's a matter of getting to the market. If you can get there and you can be an average starter, there's too many teams with too much money that have a need, and that's really going to be the trickle effect of these markets at both of these groups.
So how do you feel about your Jets signing Trumaine Johnson?
It's interesting because, listen, Trumaine Johnson wouldn't have made a lot of sense for most teams considering what he costs, $15 million per year. The Jets have the most cap space in the league, and they have a gigantic need at corner. They need a corner in front of those two very good young safeties for Todd Bowles' press scheme. So when it comes down to it, I think it actually makes a lot of sense for the Jets because you have to hit the cap floor, right? I mean, at some point, you have to spend a certain amount of money. So I like the fit for the Jets. I would have really liked the fit for the Browns, but it would have been really tough for a team like Green Bay or the Raiders, who are going to be more competitive than those two teams, to find a way to get him into their cap space.
Well, yeah, you talk about the Raiders, and they're going to have to pay Khalil Mack, and we still don't know what he's going to get. And they just paid Derek Carr, what, $25 million a year? So it's going to be really hard for them to pay a top-tier corner.
Yeah, that's the problem with them right now. You look at they cut Sean Smith, and they're trying to make the money work. But listen, these teams that all go on these wild spending sprees, it feels like every, you know, 2 or 3 years later, you're sitting and you're looking in there and they're like, man, they're in cap hell. So I think teams are trying to be a little more wise to avoid that down the stretch. They're structuring these deals where they're not long-term deals. They're 1 to 2, maybe 2.5-year deals at most.
So before we let you go, because I know we're pressed for time and it's been a long couple of days, but I think the story that is out there that is not being given the attention that it deserves is how this crept up on me. I'm looking at the quarterback changes. And not only did Kirk Cousins get a large contract, a great yearly salary at 28, but is this just the changing of the tide, the fact that Kirk Cousins now has a fully guaranteed contract?
It's a leverage thing. When is the last time we saw a top 12 quarterback hit the free agent market wide open when there was so many, you know, well, it came down to it. It was the Jets and the Vikings. But originally the Broncos and Cardinals had interest. There was just so much leverage here. And I think this will be a new trend for quarterbacks with leverage. I think when you look at it, Aaron Rodgers is a guy that's next up. Matt Ryan will have to get a contract in the future. So when it comes down to it, is this going to be the new thing? Not necessarily, because, you know, position player guys outside a quarterback won't be able to dictate this like Cousins did. But it does open the door for more guaranteed deals in the future. I think guys that are comfortable in believing in themselves and staying healthy will take 2-year deals, 3-year deals where most of it's guaranteed rather than these fake 5-year deals where not much of it's guaranteed. That'll be the trend you'll see changing in the future.
And I just have to get your quick thought on this. Flip it to the other side. What is your thoughts on players that represent themselves in a deal like Richard Sherman's?
I respect Sherman betting on himself, and I think he's a guy that will see a lot of those incentives because he's that determined and he's that talented of a player, and he's not washed up no matter what you hear. I mean, he's 29, he'll be 30 soon, and he's a great player. Now, an agent, look at this market, guys. Yeah. I mean, if Richard Sherman hung around until Thursday, I'm just saying, I think he could have sat there and easily penciled in 20, 25 million guaranteed.
Never represent yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be the first to admit it. Like, I just don't – I think it shouldn't be your job to sell yourself. Somebody else will be better at doing it for you, somebody with the contract background. And I think he learned that he won't admit it, but I think this was a good example for all other players.
Well, I just think it's interesting. You look at it, it's what, $10,000 a million per million, 1% or 1.5% or whatever they're paying in fees. Easily cost him a couple million dollars in my mind on this contract, and probably way more than that.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Real quick, last thing I have for you. Do you see Kansas City making any more moves? You think they're done?
I do think they're done. I think they'll kind of allocate the rest of, you know, the money they have really to the future because – let's be real. You want to just kind of give yourself some flexibility for the future. And I think the Chiefs have someone in place that's smart enough to know that.
Folks, if you don't follow him at Connor J. Rogers already, I think you need to. And you should jump over there and check out Stick to Football with Matt from our neck of the woods. Connor, I really appreciate your time. I know it's been a long day. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem, guys. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, all right?
Will do.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.